You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Ollie Pimlott, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi in the studio. A good Sunday to look forward to as well. National cards on the domestic front from Exeter and Sedgefield. The card at Exeter includes a listed novices hurdle, a Potemps qualifier and a couple of other interesting races. There's a good veterans chase and an interesting graduation chase and a real good card over in Ireland as well at Leopardstown. Four grade ones on their card, including the Irish Gold Cup. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm well, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad at all. Thank you very much. Big Saturday racing, so we'll have a quick look back at that before we get stuck into Sunday's action. And we'll start with the action at Newbury. The Denman Chase going the way of Native River, who a few people had said before the race they weren't sure that the tactics would suit with it being a small field and three runners, but seemed to be no problem at all. And shortened on the back of that into 4-1, second favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup behind stablemate Thistlecrack, who's 6-4 at the top of the market. Can you see Native River getting involved or being a main player in the Gold Cup?
I think off the back of that performance, it's very difficult to say that you couldn't, you know. You've got to look at his last, including today, his last five runs. He was second in the 4 miler at Cheltenham at the festival. Then he won the Hennessy.
Yeah.
He's won the Mile May.
Yeah.
And then he's won a Welsh National with top weight by, you know, well, it was a diminishing margin at the end, but, I mean, the race was over from so far out. Some incredible performances. And today he's shown the other side of him, really, that he's not a slob, you know. He's got a bit of pace. Turning in for a few strides, I honestly thought that Dar Jacob looked like he had more horse. But, you know, in the end, Native River, he's kicked him out of the park. I thought the Nichols horse has run above himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wears blinkers. I don't think he puts it all in because he was a bit like Native River. He gave the foot, he gave the last a foot. So that, to me, I think Bristol Demai has been a bit disappointing. The fact that he's been... the Nichols horse was able to get so competitive, and he doesn't always give his run, and he's a bit of a monkey. But take nothing away from Native River, he's done everything right. He's a resolute galloper, but today he showed that he's also got a fair bit of class too. So, you know, I mean, God, Colin Tizard must be rubbing his hands the fact that the sort of team he's going to be lucky enough to bring to the festival, and especially in this staying department.
Yeah, in the Gold Cup, he's got the front three in the market. Thistlecrack 6-4, Native River 4-1, Q Card 7-1, 7-1 Jack Adam, 12-1 for Outlander, 16s Vroom Vroom Mag, Bristol Demai out to 20-1 on the back of that performance on Saturday. And it is non-runner insurance in all the races at the Cheltenham Festival as well. So if you do back a horse in the Gold Cup and it doesn't run, then you get your money back. And if it runs in a different race, which could happen with some of them, it's a free bet. Instead of a losing bet on an anti-post market. So good news with that. A couple of other results so I want to touch on as well. Altior, very impressive once again. He's now 1-4 for the Arkle, and it's hard to see at this point anything beating him in the race.
It is, and like we spoke with Ken Peterson earlier, I mean, what is the point in taking on Duvan if you don't need to? It will be a fascinating race, but look, you know, the sensible option is to go for the Arkle. And I mean, look, obviously, it's very short when you're talking Cheltenham races and you're, would you say, a 1-4 shot? But, I mean, off the back of today's performance, I mean, when we spoke about it beforehand, really his last three runs, his three runs this season, they'd be non-events, and he was priced up accordingly. Like, they were non-events, but, like I said to Gareth after that race, he certainly didn't go around in them races with his eyes shut. He's picked up plenty of experience, and he'd been round Kempton twice, and I think it was it Sandown he'd been around as well. So he'd been around some big tracks, and his jumping hadn't been tested because there wasn't enough runners for starters. But you know, he's obviously gained plenty of experience, and today he was magnificent. And similar comment applies to him as the Native River. He was down to the last, and he literally cleared it by a foot. At the end of 2 mile in a grade two chase, if you've got the petrol left to be doing that, and the rest of the field are well out of sight, that's a hell of a performance, you know.
Yeah, he's 1-4 for the Arkle, as we mentioned. He is 9-4 second favourite behind Duvan for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Normally, as an anti-post bet, you'd say, well, I don't want to back him because I don't know if he's turning up in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. But 9-4, if he doesn't run in that race and he does run in the Arkle, you get your money back as a free bet with William Hill's non-runner insurance. I want to mention the performance of Ballyandy as well in the Betfair Hurdle. Very impressive. Travelled supremely well through the race. Him and Move with the Times were by far the best two horses in the race come the finishing line. A few quotes for both of those runners for the Cheltenham Festival. For the Supreme Novices Hurdle, Ballyandy is now 10-1 and Move of the Times is 14-1. In the County Hurdle, Ballyandy is 8-1, Move of the Times is 10s. And in the Neptune, Ballyandy is 14-1. If it was yours, which race would you be targeting Ballyandy at?
Well, Ballyandy's got a lovely cruising speed. Jumps, travels, he's a jockey's dream, really. And I mean, I suppose they've got options. That's the main thing. Yeah. And they'll obviously want to keep and spread their team out. Because, I mean, obviously, although Ballyhill was a bit disappointing today, they'll obviously aim him at the festival as well if he's okay. And so they'll have similar targets. But the fact that Ballyandy, he'd won a listed bumper around his course as well, around Newbury, and he'd been impressive in doing so. And he's very likeable. And, I mean, there was only a pound between the first and the second, the weights, and Move of the Times, he travelled very, very strong and looked the real danger. But in the end, Ballyandy has really grounded out. It was a good performance, and obviously they had the right horse chasing him home in third. And for me, I would say, Mark, a horse who has to take a lot of credit for his run, because I just thought he got involved just early enough in Klein. Adam Wedge was positive on him, but with 11 star, I know he's carried 11-12 in his last three wins, but you know, this was a big step up in grade for him, and he'd 11-9 on his back, and although he was apparently £5 well in, to say that he's kept galloping for third, although a reasonably well beat third in the end, it was a hell of a good run. And Evan Williams would be very proud of his horse, and I think on another day, I'm not saying he'd beat the winner, but maybe if ridden slightly more reserved, would have finished a good bit closer. But it was a very, very good race, and the fourth horse, Songlight, stuck on well also, but he's a tricky customer to win with. But the form looks very solid, and Move with the Times gives it a real good look, because he was coming on the into this race with very low mileage, looked a real improver. But Ballyandy, he's got a real will to win, and it just added to a great day that the stable were having around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good day for the stable, and Ballyandy, previous Cheltenham Festival winner, of course, won the Cheltenham bumper. Looks like we're going to see him back at the festival in one of the races with a real big chance over hurdles this time round. It wasn't just Newbury that had good racing on Saturday as well. Good card at Warwick. Their feature race was the Kingmaker Novices Chase, won by Flying Angel, beating Gino Trail and Two Tafts. What did you make of the race?
It was a good performance, just typical of one of that stable. Nothing flash, but good, tough, genuine, reliable. Another Twiston Davis inmate. I thought Gino Trail went down fighting. He's continued to improve, and he's done the same. He's taken another step forward today, because he's 10-year-old, this horse. And I mean, I remember seeing the first of his wins this season. He bolted the post with Jamie Moore at Ludlow, and he was a real handful. Looked for a minute like he wasn't actually going to run. And he did run, and he blitzed him, and from then on he's just gone from strength to strength. His behaviour was a lot better today. He tends to at times maybe use up a bit of petrol beforehand, but today he was on his best behaviour and he gave his run in, and for me that gives the form of the race a good solid look, because Gino Trail has done everything right and he's been beaten hands down, although by a horse 4 years his younger in Flying Angel. He is only a 6-year-old, so he's entitled to be on the improve, but he was strong to the line and a good winner back over fences, and a grade two winner for William Twiston Davis. But there was no fluke about it, because you know, the rest of the field were well beaten off, and it was a very, very likeable performance.
Anything else stand out to you on Saturday before we move on to Sunday?
Looking down, trying to see what else we had at Newbury. I thought the first race at Newbury, which went to the Ferguson horse, or the previous Ferguson inmate, Highbridge. He's a horse now who, although, look, it wasn't a massively competitive novices hurdle, but he was very, very good today. Both horse and jockey, because Alex Ferguson, he's had his critics, but I think he's been fantastic on this horse all year. I remember when he won his first race this season at Lingfield, he made hard work of it and certainly didn't look like he was going to progress how he has. But today, yeah, they didn't go very quick early, but he bolted up with 11 stone 5 on his back with his rider's claim off. And for me, he's a horse. If he goes to the festival, even I wouldn't be that panicked if he didn't go, because for me, I think he would be better suited, judging by today, by entry. And it was a very, very good performance.
Okay, so that's the best of Saturday's action then. Plenty more good stuff coming up on Sunday. We'll get Paddy's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday's action. We're going to look at three races at Exeter and then one over in Ireland in the shape of the Irish Gold Cup. And we start at Exeter in the 220, which is a listed novices hurdle. It's just short of 2 miles and one furlong the distance here. We've got six of them going to post. We're going to have a very short price favourite in the shape of Finian's Oscar, who's a very exciting prospect. Paddy, can you see past him here?
No, not at all. Well, not with a clear round, obviously, but that performance the last day, a five-length winner of a Tollward hurdle, and he had been pitched in at the deep end by connections. But I was in studio that day, one, and I tipped them up, and I was pretty confident, simply connections being who they are and the fact that they'd done what they'd done in putting them in against such more vastly experienced rivals. And he rewarded connections in no uncertain terms. He was fantastic. Hell of a good effort. And I mean, the handicapper was impressed. You know, this horse is up to a mark of 149 now, is the nearest to him in this field with a mark. There's only one other, is the Alex Dunn horse with 114. I mean, I'd imagine the horse of Henry Daly's would have a mark higher than that once he's assessed and has a handicap mark. But look, it's a nice prize for him to pick up, and with a clear round, this is a very, very talented horse, and I'm sure connections are just hopeful that they'll get him back in one piece. But it's just sort of going through the motions and getting them to the big day, really. But people aren't going to learn an awful lot from him, unfortunately.
No, but widely expected to win Finian's Oscar. A race has been won by some nice horses in the past. Politologue of Paul Nichols won it last year. Native River, another Tizard inmate, was a winner of this race back in 2015, so Colin Tizard will obviously be hoping Finian's Oscar follows suit. Vibrato Voltap, Melodic Rendezvous, some nice horses won it in the past, and we could see another one in the shape of Finian's Oscar on Sunday. The 250 Exeter is where we go next. This is a Potemps Network handicap hurdle qualifier. It's over 2 miles and seven furlongs. A field of 15 originally set to go to post for this one. To be fair, was a winner on Saturday, continued his winning run, so he's not going to take his place in the lineup. Leaves us with 14 and a competitive race as well, Paddy.
Yeah, it is competitive, but
sorry, 13, isn't it? Because Delarca's also out at this point.
All right. These qualifiers, the Potemps, they're hard races to weigh up, to be honest, Mark, because, you know, obviously it's a case of trying to qualify but also look after your mark, so you can go to the festival and be competitive. But for me, I was going to give another chance here to Fergal O'Brien's horse, Barney Dwan, because I thought he was running, for me, it looked to be, and probably on the back of today, it's backed it up even behind, to be fair, at Warwick the last day. He was running a career best, and both him, he needs a bit of luck, this horse, because he was brought down previous to that, and like I say, he was running a career best back over hurdles at Warwick, and it was one of them things that happened. Paddy Brennan rode him that day, and he was in a bit tight, made a bit of a Horlicks at a hurdle, but the horse went one way, jockey went the other. It was just very unfortunate. He didn't really make, you know, he was never going to fall or anything, but it was just more bad luck, and he was staying on quite strongly, and he was going to run a very, very good race. So he needs to change the look, that horse. See, John Burke is actually booked to take the ride tomorrow, but, you know, Fergal O'Brien, who, to say we're not even mid-Feb, you know, he's passed, I'm pretty sure, his seasonal best already. So it's a stable that's going from strength to strength. Yeah, they had their 50th winner during the week. So, you know, stable have been a little bit under the radar in their success all year. They've been having a fantastic year. He seems a very likeable guy, and you know, he's churning out winner after winner, and I certainly think he deserves, both him and Barney Dwan deserve to win a big one, and I think he could just do that here. But he's got 11 stone 8 to carry, but that's not by accident. It's through his own consistency. So, but like I say, people have got to remember that these are only qualifiers, and it's sort of it's a step on the way to somewhere. So they can be trappy races to weigh up. But for me, he's competitive, Barney Dwan, but he certainly needs to have a change of look, that's for sure.
Barney Dwan, then, the selection for Paddy in the 250 at Exeter. Third race we look at there is the 320, and this is a veterans handicap chase. 3 miles is the trip. We've got 13 of them set to go to post for this. I do like these veterans races, Paddy. You get to see some old favourites in action with more of a chance of winning. So who's going to take advantage of that here?
Yeah, I would have to agree, because, you know, when horses get to a certain age, they can, handicap-wise, they can be banging their head off a brick wall, and they can turn up and always give the running, but trying to get them to win is difficult, because, you know, they just don't have the miles in the legs anymore. So these are fantastic, there's no doubt, and it's a great pot on offer. But I was actually going to go for one of the ones a bit lower down the ways, and I'd imagine it'd be a reasonable price, in Colin Tizard's Theatrical Star. Now, he is a bit of a tricky customer, there's no doubt, but he generally turns up and gives connections a good run for the money. But as far as his win rate goes, it could be better, and he probably, in his time, should have won more races than what he has. But he's a clever old boy, but he looks after himself. But the one thing I will say is that he does like it round Exeter, to be honest, Marky, and he generally gives his running round there, which is one thing you can't always be guaranteed with him. And he's got a lovely race and weight of 10 stone 8, and off a mark of 1.32 without running in a race of this type, he is always going to be prone to bump into one or two, and so I suppose you can say he is frustrating. But look, he is what he is, and I mean, that run last time, he ended up only 2 lengths behind a great old yardstick in Pete the Feet, so he wasn't disgraced at all. So when he does put it together, he's very capable, this horse, but just, it's whatever side he gets out of bed tomorrow. But if he turns up, the one thing I do say is he likes Exeter. Brendan Powell gets on well with him also, and as we've seen today, the Colin Tizard yard are backfiring on all cylinders just after a few lean weeks by their standards, but certainly today just shows that they're firing on all cylinders again. So he'd be my selection there.
Theatrical Star, then, the selection for Paddy in the 320 at Exeter. And the final race we look at is the 4 o'clock over at Leopardstown. It's the Irish Gold Cup, a grade one over 3 miles, betting out on site already as well. Don Polly is the 7-2 market leader at the time of recording this. 4-1 Empire of Dirt. Carlingford Lock, a dual winner of the race, has won it for the past 2 years. He's 9-2 in the market. Minella Rocco, 9-2. 5-1 Sizing John. It's then 12-1 Zabana and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Good race this, Paddy. Don Polly was second over this course over the Christmas period, finished second in the Lexus chase there, and he does have a tendency to just keep bumping into one at the moment. Could today be his day to go one better?
Well, it was good to see him come back to form the last day. There's no doubt, you keep forgetting this horse is only 8. He seems to have been around for a lot longer than that, and he's got his critics. You know, I think he's been labelled as being very one paced at times, but look, he's a highly, highly talented horse. I'll be honest, I thought Empire of Dirt, although he's 2 years older, tongue ties back on tomorrow. I'm not really sure why. He travelled so strongly the last day around Navan. I mean, he was very, very impressive. Now, I know obviously this is a completely different type of race, but, you know, that was a very competitive Tri-Town, and he's absolutely murdered them that day, to be honest, and carried 11 stone 8 in doing so, Mark. You know, it was a real good performance. Mm-hmm. And connections haven't been in a hurry to get him back out again, so obviously this has been the plan. Now, it's very rare that we don't have a Mullins runner, but unfortunately we don't tomorrow, and Ruby's got no ride in the race. It's something, you know, but I wouldn't let that take from the race. B, because we've still got some good old sticks on show. I mean, Road to Riches, to say he's 10-year-old, they're actually putting the cheap pieces on for the first time. I know for a fact he's been a very, very difficult horse to keep right. Very talented horse, and probably hasn't had the days he's deserved or his ability warrants. But that said, it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to the first time cheap pieces tomorrow. But off the back of that Navan race, I know it was handicap company, but he was just ultra impressive. Now, there's only a pound between him and Don Polly, and there's 2 years in age, but I wouldn't let that put people off at all, because to say he is 10, he hasn't been abused in any way, this horse, and he's actually, you know, they've done a good job of training him. He is fairly low mileage, and I just thought at Navan, just purely off the way he travelled in such a competitive field, and the race was never in doubt from, you know, a good way out, there was only going to be one winner. And I think the lads, they've looks to me like they've plotted this, and off the back of a 77 day absence, I think they'll obviously just freshen them up or so over Christmas. Tongue strap back on tomorrow, which for me, I'm not really sure. I didn't see anything in the Navan performance, but you know, you wouldn't dare question Connections, that they're obviously doing it for some reason. And if he doesn't take a dislike into the tongue strap, for me, I think he's got a cracking chance there tomorrow. But a very, very good race, and one I'll be really looking forward to watching.
Yeah. I just trying to see when he last wore a tongue tie. 4 starts ago, wasn't it? So
yeah, and yeah. Ran average with it on.
Yeah.
Which that was the only head scratcher for me. But you know, we've seen people do it before. Like I said, they've obviously done it for a reason. There could have been other factors that day, but I'm just going to judge him on the Navan run. The tongue strap does worry me. I would say that, but you know, if it isn't a hindrance tomorrow, I think they go there with a real strong hand, the Jiggins Town team.
Yeah, and I suppose God nearly gets it wrong that often, does he? So we'll trust the man.
And Jack Kennedy's been so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, obviously since Cooper's been out, he's come in for some cracking spare rides, and he's not let the lads down by any means.
Yeah, right then, that's our look ahead to Sunday's racing then. So just to recap, it was Finian's Oscar in the 220 at Exeter. In the 250 at Exeter, you went with, what did you go with?
Barney Dwan.
Barney Dwan, that's correct. Barney Dwan there. Theatrical Star in the 320 at Leopardstown in the 4 o'clock. The Irish Gold Cup, Empire of Dirt. The selections for Paddy. Thank you very much, Paddy. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Thanks, mate.
There you go. The thoughts of Paddy Aspel on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Ollie Pimlott, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi are in the studio. A real good day to look forward to as well. You can also watch Sir Anthony McCoy's views on Leopardstown. He's previewed all 4 of the grade ones on their card. That's available at williamhill.com and on Twitter on the at William Hill handle. And do tune in for all of the action on Sunday. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.